Amen. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Beautiful song. I always enjoy musicians who sing with a smile on their face. And I've noticed that with all of your musicians this week that have sung and have been a blessing to us. I don't always hear everything they say, but I just enjoy the smile. It just kind of makes me thank the Lord for His goodness. And so whoever's working in the music department here, you're doing a good job. Keep it up. Thank you, Dr. Chappell, for the invitation to be here tonight. I count a great privilege anytime I have the opportunity of standing behind this pulpit and just being able to fellowship with the men of God, ladies of God, here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And my special thanks as well to Dr. Getch, Dr. R, for having a week's emphasis on starting churches in a college. I've never heard of a Bible college doing that, but I think, what have we been about for all these years if we haven't been doing that? So thank you for that special emphasis. That puts you right at the top of the charts in my mind for Bible colleges and for sending people for ministry and serving the Lord. Wonderful. Matthew 16 for our text tonight. Matthew chapter 16. This has been a conference about starting churches. And just so that we don't skip a beat in the middle of it, I'm talking tonight about starting churches and God's program that He has for all of us in the ministry of the church and just the importance of the local New Testament church. And forgive me if I sound a little redundant tonight, but I'm going to be saying some things about the local New Testament church in case you haven't been here this week to hear me talk about the local New Testament church. And even though you haven't heard me, the other men have been speaking about the local New Testament church and starting more churches, the great need worldwide. Matthew chapter 16, would you stand with me, please, as we read the scripture, beginning in verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13, the Bible says, "And Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked His disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" Father in heaven, bless these moments together this night. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, the title of my message is God's Impeccable Program. And I want to address this subject this evening, understanding the word program is clearly understood. And I happened to look up in the dictionary about the word impeccable. And the dictionary said, impeccable means faultless, exemplary, flawless, perfect, errorless, unerring, ideal, correct, blameless, pure, immaculate, irreproachable, virtuous, decent, and proper. We must have at least 1 million parachurch organizations in this world today doing everything and anything but what God said is the one impeccable program. And the only thing I can come up with in the Bible is the church. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll make one declarative statement and then get right on with my message tonight. And that is God's program for today is the local New Testament church. There isn't anything else. And say, well, but what about all of the other programs that are out there? And there are a lot of them, and they're wonderful, some of them are. But you think, I only have one life. I'm not the ever-ready battery here tonight. I've only got one, and I plan to use my one life for the one impeccable program that God Almighty Himself set up, and that's the local New Testament church. As we think about the need today, the need for is starting more church. And I think about churches today, and you think about God's program, that God's impeccable program is exquisite. The church is a beautiful thing. Our text says that Jesus is building His church in verse 18. And I believe that's exactly what Jesus started doing right then and there in Matthew 16, 18, when He started building that church. He empowered the local New Testament church at Pentecost. And ever since then, God is saying, this is the institution that I have set up. This is what I want done during this day of grace that is out here. This is the time. This is the time for the church to step up to the plate. This is the time for us to go out and start more churches that become centers for world evangelism. It's a responsibility that every church has that we're to give ourselves to. Churches start churches. It's a beautiful thing. And the church is not only beautiful, but it's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says He has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all, in Ephesians 1 and verse 22 and 23. And no matter what you may read in the margin of any Bible, I remind us that the true and living church is the local New Testament, we believe, fundamental, independent Baptist church. It's that simple. That is the true church. Lancaster Baptist Church is the true church. Local New Testament church from which you have come is the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ that He has for us. And the church is not only beautiful, it's not only the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a blessing. I mean, church is where you come and worship Almighty God. Through music, through our tithes and offerings and faith promise, missions, giving for world evangelism, we worship God here. This is the place that I come and get my friends. My best friends are friends that I have at church. That's where you build friends. Moms and dads, that's why you always want your children involved in all the youth programs. I remember back home dealing with people from time to time in 35 years that saying, all right, our kids have been acting up for punishment. You can't go to the youth activity this weekend. That's the dumbest thing you can do, if you don't mind me saying. You don't punish them with something good by withholding something good. You punish them by something that's bad, like you can't eat donuts this weekend, or you know, you can't stay out past 6 o'clock or something else, but you don't take away the good thing. But it's a blessing when you're involved in a church and a place where I can serve God, a place that I call home. I mean, this is where you feel comfortable. And when you know, when you travel and you get into another good, fundamental, independent Baptist church, there's something about it you just kind of feel at home. You're there because this is God's program for today. It's what He wants. And God's book describes the church as having a biblical message, a biblical mandate. He talks about biblical music in the Bible, biblical modesty that is there for every local New Testament church, and the biblical manual that God has given us as well to go by. And I say, woe be unto the church or pastor that deviates from any one of those things. And I found out that if you give up one, it's like the domino effect. You can mark it down. If a church is off on one of those five things, just give it a year or two, it'll be off on all five, not just one. You stand for the Word of God and doing the right thing. And you look at that and I say, some churches say, well, but we never change our methods. We never change our doctrine we have, but we change our methods a little bit. But don't ever get to the place in your mind where you think methods really don't count. If you ever get there, just ask Cain and Abel if methods are important. Ask the guy that was walking along and carrying the ark, and the ark just kind of shook a little bit, and he reached up and touched it, and God killed him just like that. Methods don't count. Ask that guy about it. Ask the guy, Korah, when he had about 250 people with him, and they kind of messed up there at the altar and worship, and God killed all of them because their method was wrong. Methods are important. They are doctrinal issues as well, and we have to be careful about that. But God's impeccable program of His local New Testament church, it's exquisite. It's a wonderful thing. But not only that, it is extensive. And I realize that I may not be teaching anything new, but I want to remind us that sometimes we get the local New Testament church and it slips on the back burner and you can't really smell the okra and the beans and you want to pull it back up on the front burner where you can just get hold of that thing and understand it. But church planting is not a program of the church. It is the purpose of the church. It is what we are about as we come together for fellowship, not just to be pumped up for fellowship, which is wonderful, and it's one of the reasons why we have a fellowship together as a church, because that's what an assembly is all about. But if God just wanted us to enjoy fellowship, He'd have taken us on up to glory the moment we got saved. But that's not what we have. We have to work together as a church for the purpose of starting and planting more churches. You have a college for the purpose of training men and women to be able to go into ministry in local New Testament churches to be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the church, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, may I remind us, West Coast Baptist College is not just another Bible college. It's done the right way. It's under the umbrella of the local New Testament church, which is exactly where the church and the school ought to be. So it is completely, to keep in mind, it's the church is God's program. And whatever we do it with that idea in mind. We want to be involved in ministry and serving God. But the need for starting churches in America and worldwide is something that I assume we would all share and remind ourselves about. With over 6.5 billion people on planet Earth, there's a lot to be done in ministry yet in reaching other people for Jesus Christ. The daunting task and overwhelming task that we find sometime, we need to remind ourselves, as Paul said, we faint not. Don't give up. Don't let down. Keep knocking on doors. Keep talking to more people about Jesus Christ. Keep giving out those gospel tracts that are there. Say, oh, but I gave a gospel tract out here the last time I was there. No sense in giving it again. Give it again. Keep giving them over and over, because those are the kind of things that people will take and respond to and can have their lives changed because you care. Don't miss out on visitation. Well, I've been for the last 20 weeks and nothing's happened. Hey, the next time you go out, just maybe the time you'll lead someone to Jesus Christ and they may become a church planter at a Lancaster Baptist church. Don't slow down. Don't give up. My wife and I retired from pastoring 2 years ago this past January. So it's 2 years and a couple months now under our belts as pastor emeritus, or whatever that is. As I said, the Spanish guy in our church said, what's an emeritus? Well, the emeritus is kind of the emeritus, except it hurts in the joint sometimes. But I think, when we went out, I told my son, when we made the transition, we're going to be gone for 60 days, 2 months, and we're not going to come back to the church there. And so we went down to Florida. We went down to Florida in Lakeland, Florida, and we had some friends down there in a church where I'd preached for the last 10, 15 years or so, and every year. We just kind of liked the place. We got there, and it was nice and warm all the time, and we were just enjoying it. But we thought, well, hey, while we're on vacation, you know, we don't vacation from the Lord when you're on vacation. So we decided where we were staying. We're staying in a house there in a nice neighborhood, and said, let's just go out and go knock on all these doors that are out here. So we went out on visitation one night, two of us, and just started knocking on doors. So we started from the house where we were, and we just went all the way on down the street. And up towards the end of the street, we're starting to kind of, you know, we've done enough now. Let's just go on back to the house. Nothing's really happened anyhow. And we went side. Let's just go to the very end of this side of the street, and then we'll go back. So we went all the way. The last house we went to, knocked on the door, and this lady came to the door and dressed kind of immodestly, but a nice lady, and just warmly received us. And she said, after we gave her a little spiel, said, sure, come on in. So we went on in, and her husband was in there, and he had this big old stogie that was coming out of his mouth, you know. And there's nothing that's more wonderful than smelling a stinking cigar, in my opinion. But anyhow, he had this big old stogie, and there we walked into his house, and there, right in the living room, they had a bar set up and some bottles on that, and we're looking at that. I'm thinking in my mind, this may not have been the best house to come into. Perhaps we should have gone elsewhere and maybe talked to somebody else about the Lord. But I thought, boy, our work's cut out for us. So we stood around and chatted for a while, about 5 or 10 minutes, kind of small talk, standing there. And I'm looking at this, smelling the smoke and looking at the cigar and seeing the bar and talking to the people. Nice, nice couple, just as nice as they could be. So I thought, okay, enough small talk. And so... I asked the guy for his spiritual background. So, you know, what is your church? Well, he told me about it. So, well, have you ever come to a place in your spiritual life and know for certain if you die today, you go to heaven, or do you have some doubt? So, no, I don't have any doubts. As a matter of fact, he said, I've graduated from Bible college. I'm thinking, whoa, that's different. And so I'm thinking, man, I sure hope it wasn't mine. And by the way, it was not Lancaster, so don't worry about it. Talked to this guy for a moment. I thought, oh, that's interesting. And so I said, yeah. I said, I went to school, and he told me where it was. I'm not going to mention it because there may be some graduates out here. In fact, I know there's some graduates out here. So he said, Well, anyhow, so I said, well, that's fine. And he told me when he graduated back in 1971 or 72. And then I'm thinking, oh, so this guy really is saved. And it's if I name the school, everybody in here would know it. I said, oh, that's great. And I'm still talking. Oh, man, where in the world is this conversation going? And so I asked him a little bit more, and we talked. And he says, as a matter of fact, he said, I used to be a minister of music in a church. I said, no kidding. Good future, Brother Schmidt. You know, you can just see this thing, you know. But I thought, man, that's great. And so I said, well, where were you? He said, oh, I was in California. I said, where in California? So it was in Long Beach, California. I was music director for Larry Chapel, man. I said, really? I said, I know him. And he said, yeah. I said, I remember. I mean, keep in mind, now this is just door-to-door visitation, Lakeland, Florida. You know, don't know anybody down there. And I said, well, I know him. He said, really? He said, yeah, I remember. He said, when I was there even, he said, he had a little boy named Paul. And he said, I remember babysitting him sometimes. And sometimes I'd even take him and we'd go out and soul winning visitation together. I thought, man, it's a small world. And he said, yeah. He said, what up, man? He said, whatever happened to him? I said, oh, he's pastoring a little church in California himself now. I said, he said, no kidding. I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, it's a pretty good sized church there. And he was surprised because he had been out. He had been serving the Lord at one time, got out of the will of God. But I thought, how wonderful how God crossed our paths. I'm just saying, and we're still working with it, I'm just saying, you never know. I got together with him this past January, and we met and had time together as well. And we're getting closer with him already. Had him to our house already and where we were, and we're still working with that. But I think, you know, you just don't ever know. It's not, soul winning is not just to reach unsaved people. It's to reach Christian people sometime that just kind of forsake the local New Testament church, which means they're forsaking the Lord, and they need to turn back to God and be able to serve the Lord as well. But it's a wonderful thing when we can get involved in serving God like we ought to. But the thread, the golden thread of world evangelism is really the church planting concept that we stay at. So we reach people for the Lord. We do what we can to tell them of the Lord, get more people saved, and get more people involved in ministry and serving God so that we can see more churches go out and get planted. I remember we had a couple in our church that was reached from door to door. A woman got saved this couple was out going door to door, and a woman got saved. Went back in the home, and I talked to the man. He was a FBI agent, and I talked to him, led him to the Lord that night. And they were members of our church for many years, and a wonderful couple. He was a brilliant man. He worked in the chemistry lab as well at the FBI headquarters. He had been an agent out on the field. And he graduated with his doctorate at George Washington University, had the highest grade point average they'd ever had in that school. Just a brilliant man. But after a number of years, they didn't have any children. Finally, they had a little boy. And then about 5 years later, this couple came to me and said, Pastor Calvert, we just wanted you to know that our son will not be coming to the Fairfax Baptist Temple Academy. I said, oh, that's okay. I mean, that's, you know, your prerogative as a parent. And they said, well, don't you want to know why he's not coming? I thought, really? No. I said, that's your business. It's a parental decision. I think you ought to have your children in a good church school, but however, that's your decision. Well, we want to tell you anyhow. We've looked around the school and heard some of the teaching in the chapel there, and he said, it just seems like that in there that there's a lot of pressure on everybody to go into the ministry and start churches or something. And he said, we just don't know if we want that. I said, whoa. I said, that's a wonderful thing. I said, you're smart, because there is a subtle conspiracy in our school to get these young people to go into the church ministry. And if you don't want that, you've made a good decision. Keep them out of our school. And they did. They kept them out of our school. And unfortunately today, their son's off in left field somewhere, and that couple split up. The local New Testament church is God's program. That's why you may not understand everything that goes on in the church, but thank God you don't have to. You just say, praise the Lord, our church is going forward for God. There's another thing that's going on, reaching more souls for Jesus Christ, more hooks out in the water to try to bring in more saved people and unsaved people to get them grounded in the Word of God hopefully together we can start another church someplace. And getting started, I think, wow, how important it is for all of us to be involved in it, in church plans. But you know something? Starting churches is not an inexpensive plan. It costs money to start churches. And as you heard your pastor talk about wanting to start another church in the next few months, it's exciting to be involved in it. But it does cost a lot of money. And by the way, it costs heaven everything to provide salvation for you and me. And setting up the church was not some simple exercise like the Lord did when he started the family or the government, but rather he knew there would be an extremely high cost associated with setting up the New Testament church. And that is, it was going to cost him his own life and blood as God the Son. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is vitally important. But from our side also, there's a cost associated with giving birth to a new church. Besides the money associated with training men and college and perhaps internship, there are costs in being able to send out fellows as well. And I'm saying that to remind us that when you have opportunity in sending out someone else, you dig down a little bit deeper in those pockets of yours and you put up more opportunities and more gifts to God through your local New Testament church, which all of our givings we funneled through our church for the Lord's work and doing it. When we start churches out of our church, it costs money for one thing. Right now, we invest about $45,000 a first year when we send out a new church planner to go out and start a church. I'm sure if you go out of this church, it'll be $75,000 or $80,000 a year. But that was a joke. Good night. Don't get all. I mean, but anyhow, I'm sure the Lord will take care of you the way he does it. But I'm simply saying it costs. And it costs money to be able to send. It costs money to send men and women of God to go overseas and plant churches in other countries. But it's worth every penny of it to go out. And keep in mind, there are all kinds of other things going on, as I said, to start with, as far as parachurch organization. And there's got to be thousands and tens of thousands of things of people that are asking for our money to be able to give and contribute and help us. But there is only one organization in all the Word of God that God says he died for. Amen. And that's the local New Testament church. And it's not a matter of putting everything else down. It's just lifting up the one program that God has. The impeccable program of God's today is starting local New Testament fundamental independent Baptist churches. And it costs some. It costs something financially, but it also costs and personnel, people that go along with it as well. This last year, we had the joy of starting two new churches out of our church in Fairfax, numbers 34 and numbers 35, of two of our own men. One of the young men, Brother David Piggott, who was a teenager when he came to our church and in our church for about close to 15 years, and went out, and just this last August, we went with him to Dublin, California, right outside of Oakland, and started a brand new church there. We had another family from our church to move out to Dublin to go with them. That was two families that we saw move. We've had, in the course of the time, about 60-some families that have moved and gone out and starting churches and church helping church planters as well. We had another church we started last July and that was about 20, 25 miles from where our church is in Fairfax, and we had 14 families go with them to start that New Testament church. We were thrilled to death to hear about it. Went out and started. We were hoping they'd still send their tithes and offerings back to our church, but they didn't. But anyhow, we're happy about it, but anyhow, we're thrilled to death about it as God worked and sent them out. But it cost, and that cost a little bit financially. It cost some people, but it's worth it because I remind us that our church isn't ours to begin with. It's all of God. But if we can get involved in it, and if we can get the heart, and some of the people that are saying, well, I'm not called to be a church planter. You may not be, but perhaps God could use you to go and help one of these other church planters that go out from Lancaster Baptist Church and say, you know, I'm going to go along and just kind of be there. As I've encouraged every man, by the way, and I didn't say it this week, but any man that goes out to start a church, the first thing you ought to pray for is another man to kind of have your heart to work with you. Everybody needs, every preacher needs that. Somebody there you can trust, have confidence in, can handle the money, help you in every way, but to work at it. But families, it involves people to help out. And I might say, God's impeccable program is totally exclusive. The church exclusively was given the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's the church's responsibility to make disciples of everyone that we can. And may I say that God is looking for the church. The church is the one that provides preachers to be able to go. It's our responsibility as local New Testament churches to say, Lord, please raise up more laborers from our midst. Lord, please, I pray, God, call more men and boys into the ministry to be pastors or missionary evangelists, to be able to go out and start more churches for the Lord Jesus Christ. Raise up more young ladies that, Lord, will dedicate their lives to being preachers' wives and saying, I want to serve God in a full-time capacity alongside of a husband, and Lord, please work in my heart. And please, God, raise up these people and get the call of God. And honestly, you think of the call of God, it's not as mysterious as most people try to make it out to be. It's not that way. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, it's an overwhelming desire for the work of the ministry, end of quote. It is like it's something you want to do. It's that, Paul said to Timothy, that he that desireth the office of a bishop desireth a good thing. I hear people say, don't ever say, I'll never do that, because that's what God will make you do. That's not true. You'll want to do it in the ministry. It's a privilege to be involved in ministry. It's a privilege to go out and start churches. I've had people come up to me, when I was pastoring the church, and they'd say, well, Pastor, how do you really know that you're called into the ministry? And so I would get out the verses and explain to them, you know, woe is me if I preach not the gospel, and I thank my God that he count me faithful, putting me in the ministry. I'd give them all the verses I could think of about being called into the ministry and how it worked and everything. And then usually 6 months or a year later, I'd see them walk down an aisle, and they'd come forward and say, I just want the church to know God's called me to be a missionary evangelist or a pastor, and I want to let the church know about it. I say, praise the Lord. They'd prepare. We'd send them off and start church someplace. Now, and I learned this about 10 years ago, now when someone comes in my office and says, Pastor, how do you really know if you're called into the ministry? I've had guys here say that to me since I've been here. You know what I say to them now? I don't go through all the verses. I just simply say, you're called. I said, did it ever occur to you that you're the only man in our church in my office asking me this question? You know why you're asking me? It's because you're called. That's the desire that's there. That's the burden that gets there. That's the woe is me. That's there. I'm thinking about it all the time. I'm thinking, well, but I don't think I'm qualified. You may not be. Hey, by the way, we started 35 churches. We've had 6 other men go out of our church who were not qualified. They got so excited about, still went out and started a church. And we don't even count those 6. They're the some of the critters that are out there and didn't kind of make it just right. But I think, hey, God, this is exciting work in ministry. And I need to think, yes, Lord, I am called. And I tell a guy, look, you're called. Just quit messing around. Come on forward this Sunday. Let people know that you're called. And for you guys that are thinking about it, don't sit back and keep waiting for that handwriting on the wall. When you see that, you may just be in heaven. So don't wait that long. I mean, get with it now. I'm serious. Get with it now. Just say, I'm not going to mess around anymore about this thing. God's calling me, and I'm going to declare that God's calling me into the ministry. I'm not going to play around with this thing. It's important that I roll up my sleeves while I'm here at Lancaster Baptist College or here in the West Coast Baptist College, Lancaster Church, and it's while I'm here, I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to get some direction. I'm going to get some focus. I'm going for it. And just get off of it and go. And I promise you, if you get out there and then you find out later that you're not called, God will probably forgive you of that. Just start the church. Get people saved. and do it now while you're in school. Now get out in the harvest field. Now get out there and knock on doors. Now get out there and pass out tract. Now when you go home at break or the summer, you've determined before God, by the grace of God, my mom's going to get saved. My daddy's going to get saved. My brother's going to get saved. My sister's going to get saved. Make it an overwhelming burden on your heart. I called home just a while ago, talked to my wife and my son and his wife and two youngest children were over at the house. And my youngest grandchild will be 5 years old at the end of this month in April. And she got on the phone and she said, Papa, she said, I just got saved today. I thought, praise God. Hey, make it a big thing. Stay at it. Work at it. And go for it in every way. But I think, give it our all. Andrew Carnegie said this, and I quote, teamwork is the ability to work together toward a common vision. The ability to direct individual accomplishments toward organizational objectives. It is the fuel that allows common people to attain uncommon results. The church exclusively has the responsibility and the authority to start more churches. Yes, God's impeccable program is starting churches. It is an exquisite design, an extensive design to go into all the world. It is expensive, but it is also exclusive. And it is allowing all of us to be involved and a part of it. And we ought to say, praise God for that. We can have a part in either I'm going on the going team to go out there and start the churches, or I'll be part of the sending team back here at Lancaster Baptist Church and help out. But God has designed his program, and by the way, he's also expecting the soon return of his son, Jesus Christ. He's coming back real soon, and we've got to be ready to do what we can right now. We set our sails for the Lord, and may God help us to raise up more church planters in all of our churches and the churches back home as well. But I close this one thought about God's impeccable program, and it is this. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Help us, I pray, to just have a greater burden for starting churches, a greater burden for the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church, to give our all in serving thee while there's yet time in our lives. And our heads are bowed.